Good morning. I greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. As inspired this morning, when I thought about the service thus far, how much it ties together with what I want to share this morning. And I'm going to say at the outstart this morning that what I have to share is a personal experience of mine. And it's probably a testimony of my life in the last year and a half. Maybe further. Maybe it's a testimony of my life in the last 36 years. I don't know. But this is from my heart. Many times in life, in the Christian experience, we talk about a fight. And we talk about, I preached a series of messages on the Christian's armor. And we're fighting. And we're fighting for standing for what's truth. And we're fighting for the right. And there's always a battle, a constant conflict somewhere around us. Because if we're going to stand for something, there's going to be an opposing factor against us at all times. But this morning, I want to take an inside look of ourselves. And I want to look what's going on inside. I titled my message this morning, A Life at Rest. A Life at Rest. We have the battles without us. We have the battles we're going to fight. But brothers and sisters, this morning, what's happening inside my soul? Is my life at rest? The meaning for rest this morning would also be the same as peace. You can talk about peace, but I've chose to call it rest. And this rest I'm talking about is not something where we just walk away and just lay it down, or we don't expect turbulence. On the outside of our life, there will be turbulence. Many times when we talk about rest, we want to seek rest. I just want away from all of this. I don't want nothing to disturb me. And that's outward rest. And that's a promise we will receive at the end of life. But this morning I want to think about what's inside. Are we as Christian people, God intends for us to be at rest in this life? Not at rest with the world around us, but at rest in spirit. We need to find rest and security in God that I can be at rest. Even though everything's shaking, the walls are falling down around my life, I am at rest. Finding rest in the middle of turmoil and chaos is an absolute choice of me. It's not our first nature. It's something I personally strive for, I choose for, I push towards. It's an option. Because my first nature is, but it's not right. It's not for me. I didn't choose this. We probably didn't. But I choose rest. I have 3 points that I have found in my life that I need to have in order to have rest. And there are probably more, but I've said from the outstart that this may just be a testimony of my life. And so I chose these three. And I chose these three in the order I did because I feel like it's a sequential step in our lives that we must take if we're going to be at rest. At rest. First point I have is humility. And then submission to God. And then interpersonal forgiveness. And if you get them all mixed around, you're going to have a different accent. You can mix them around some, but I think in order this morning to think about where we're going to be at, I want to take them in this order. So point number one, choosing humility brings rest in my person. The definition of humble is not proud or arrogant. It means low in rank, in importance and status, quality, etc. It's just humble. And brothers and sisters, if we're going to have a life of rest, it begins with us as a person. Where are we? And who do we think we should be? Humility is the opposite of pride. A proud person is constantly at unrest because he's focused on himself. And that's we identify pride. Because someone's focused on themselves, they're gonna have to make themselves be somebody. They want someone to think they have it put together. But when we choose to lay that down, James 4, verse 6 says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." A life that is proud will have trouble in life. And if we have unrest of soul given to us by Almighty God, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Maybe the Lord's trying to work in our lives to bring us down. And he gives us unrest because God says he will resist the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We as a people in life, we choose humility. Because as a people in life, we will be forgotten. And it's kind of hard to think about that in 2025 when we are span the ages of 85 to 10, that we're here. I'm me. But I want you to think about it a little bit. So how many of you here know who your father is? All right? And you remember your father. That's we got that. That's pretty simple. How many of you here remember and know or can recollect strong conversations with all four grandparents? All right, it's getting down. Now, how about your great-grandparents? How many of you know your great-grandparents? There's eight of them. How many of you here can name me all 16? I'm not saying none, but can name all 16 of your great-great-grandparents? And we think we're pretty important. We're going to pass on someday. And you know what? In three generations, you're going to be one of 16. Not just one. So what is life? Why am I so worried about myself and my status and my importance? People will be remembered two ways. Either they will force their memory on people that is usually somewhat bitter, or they will be chosen to be remembered by somebody else because of their humility or their service. And someone else will choose to remember them. So if we're going to have rest in our soul, we seek humility. Humility brings rest because it frees us from needing to be on top of the pile. Open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12. I got quite a few scriptures this morning. I know starting out I didn't have that a lot up front. But Romans chapter 12, let's begin reading. I want to start reading in verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me that every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same offense, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. In life, we have rest and humility by recognizing there's others around us who have something that we don't have. We are called in life to use the gifts we have and to apply in our lives. You know, we look at the parable of the talents where Jesus told the parable about the king handed out the talents. And some people got five and some people got ten. Another one of the renditions of the story, it says every man got one talent. And you know, that's the way it's dealt with. But as we see here in verse 12, or in chapter 12 of Romans, it says we wait on each other and we give credit to other people. Life does not end up being about us. We are not special people. We are not doing something no one else can do. And when we humble ourselves and recognize that in our lives, we suddenly release the need to outperform or to do something extra because someone else is watching. And we find rest. And we are glad, we are thankful to God that my one talent can make two talents. And I rejoice to God that my brother's one talent can make 10 talents because mine didn't. That is humility. Now, if the brother is taking the pal and says, see, I got 10 talents, that's not mine to judge. If I am humble and I recognize where God placed me, and I can accept that it's okay that there's other people that is different places than I am, then I can be at rest. And I can rejoice with those around me. And I can weep with those around me. And God will take me places I had no idea I would go or choose to go. Because life becomes less about me and more about the glory of God. Which when we become emptied of ourselves, which humility, pride is looking at oneself, and humility is emptying ourselves of ourselves. When we get to that point, then we can truly look at God, which leads me to the second step, and that is we find rest in ourselves when we choose to believe and follow. When we choose to believe and follow God, it brings rest in our life. Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And I want to think about we choose to believe and follow God in my life. I want to think about that we are each individually on a path. And the path that I have been asked to walk and the path that you have been asked to walk is two different paths. But I want to establish this morning that whenever we are burdened and we are laid down in life, but we are in a yoke with God. And in that yoke, there's only two. There's only two. There's not five. There's two. From this illustration, we think about in this thing, we have two oxen. Sherwin preached on this quite a while ago, about a year ago it probably was, and he spoke about this, but I want to refresh our minds on this. In this, there's two. But when we're in that yoke, and we are at rest with God beside us, remember we talked about humility. It's not about us. God works in our lives to bring glory to Him. God does not work in my life to bring glory to me. So if we're in a yoke with God, we're walking with God, there's two of us. I am the insignificant one. That means God chooses my path. God chooses my path, and the path that I go on, I just go. And it will have more hills and more corners, and I will probably be on the outside edge towards the cliff, but that's okay. And I become at rest when I truly believe that God has me here for a purpose. Because God is shaping my life. And He is wanting to draw me. He is wanting my full reliance to Him. Because if I'm retaining some for myself, that's not giving everything back to God. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 35. On the same day, think about this story in relation to walking in the yoke with Jesus. And the same day when even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the winds beat upon the ship, that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Here we have the story of the disciples. They had just witnessed so much from Jesus. And they decided they were going to go across the sea. Jesus was with them. Like in life. Somewhere we are, Jesus is with us, we are with Jesus, let's get this lined up right. And the decision is made, we're going to go across the sea. Jesus went down the hill, Jesus went and slept. But when they were in the middle of the sea, there's a huge storm come. And it says here that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And then they said, Man, we can't handle this no more. Where's Jesus? He's still sleeping. He's at peace. And I wonder how many times we let the wind and the waves of our lives beat around us so hard till our ship is full before we start saying, Where's Jesus? We're in a yoke. Brothers and sisters, we give up. And these disciples, had they recognized Jesus in their ship and said, Lord, Master, save us. It's windy out here. Wake up. We're together in this. I believe they could have slept too. They could have been at rest because the storm was perfectly in control. Jesus brought the storm into their lives. Jesus brought the conflict into their life because he wanted glory from the disciples. And they got to the end, he stood up, he said, Peace, be still. It's okay. And it was okay. And that's where God is in my life. If I want rest in my soul, if I want rest in my life, I recognize that where God placed me, it might be in the middle of a stormy ocean, but I recognize that that place, I didn't choose it. I didn't ask for it. I had 30 other options I could have chose from. It would have been way better to take an exit a long time ago. But here I am. And there is something Jesus is wanting out of my life. That is the reason I'm here. It's the reason I'm placed in a storm that I can't control. And this happened in one evening. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we have Moses speaking. This is before they were coming into the land of Canaan. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou shouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider thine heart, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything which in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And when thou hast eaten and art full, And thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, and which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten or art full, and thou hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that is in that and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, and to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, thy power and my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with thee, swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before you, before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And I want you to think about the generation of people that Moses was talking to. This was a generation of people that spent 40 years in the wilderness. This was a generation of people that suffered 40 years. 40 years because of the choices their parents made. He was not talking to the people. The only two people left was Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two people that had full testimony of where they come from and why they went where they were. I guess Moses was there too. But God led them through a wilderness experience. It's listed out here. They had no water. They were hungry. They were given manna. They didn't know what was going to happen. And you know, when you read through Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you hear about all the terrible things that happened, but this is one of the few places where it mentions that their clothes didn't wear out and their feet didn't swell. Now, I don't know about you, but we have 5 children. It's amazing how many times mom says they need new shoes. It's life. Or my shirt starts going the way of all life, and it's like, well, we got to get some new shirts around here if you're going to halfway be presentable. Maybe that's a humility issue. I don't know. But their garments did not wear out, and their shoes did not wear out for 40 years. That's a miracle. So, you know, there's times in our lives when we're not wanting to submit to where God has us. And we say, why in the world did God put me in this situation? You know, maybe it would just be other people. I don't know why. I'm just not here. And I'm speaking for myself. I don't know what all is in your lives. But this is where I wrestle with. But when I can recognize that I am where I am, it might be a 10-year journey. It might be a one night in the boat. It might be a 40-year journey in the wilderness that I don't know what the end's going to be. But God placed me here. And God put circumstances in my life that made me choose and put me where I am today. And I can choose to fight that, and there'll be utter turmoil in my life. Or I can choose to recognize the power of God, what he has done for me. Because in this story, we see that towards in verse 17, God's very concerned. God is very concerned in our lives that when we are eaten and are full, that we forget him. And we can look at the children of Israel through the rest of their history. And that's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. And God came in and wiped them out. And they had to be punished for where they were. I have a poem here. I don't know who the author is. I couldn't find the author. But I want you to think about this when you think about where God has you in life and whether or not we can find rest. The will of God will never take you. Where the grace of God cannot keep you, where the arms of God cannot support you, where the riches of God cannot supply your needs, and where the power of God cannot endow you. The will of God will never take you where the Spirit of God cannot work through you, where the wisdom of God cannot teach you, where the army of God cannot protect you, where the hands of God cannot mold you. The will of God will never take you where the love of God cannot enfold you, where the mercies of God cannot sustain you, where the peace of God cannot calm your fears, where the authority of God cannot overrule you. The will of God will never take you where the comfort of God cannot dry your tears, where the word of God cannot feed you, where the miracles of God cannot be done to you, and where the omnipresence of God cannot find you. I don't care, brothers and sisters, I don't care where we are today. We can be at the bottom of ourselves, and we can be in other turmoil and stress. But that's right where God wants us. The will of God will not take me. The will of God will not take me where God does not want me. Because when God humbles us and he crushes us, we don't bring no glory to us. We gave that up on the previous point. We gave that up in humility. At this point, I find rest because I see where God wants me. And I may not see it. I may never see it. But there's confidence I find in being in the will of God. When we recognize that where we are, that God can show us his mighty might, I can say with the psalmist of Psalms 27, verses 1 to 5, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come up to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. The host should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon the rock. That is my God." That is the God I choose to serve. And when I recognize that I am in God's pavilion, I recognize I am in God's care. It doesn't matter where I am. My life may look like a mess to somebody else. That's immaterial. I may not be performing like I think someone else may want me to do. That's immaterial. I am on a path that God wants me to walk. And in that, I can find rest. And when I accept what God brings into my life, And I accept that I am nothing, and I accept that someday I'm going to leave this earth, and there's nothing I can do about it, and it's up to someone else what they do with me, then I can choose to forgive in my heart others around me and bring rest to my soul. You know, this forgiveness thing is the biggest obstacle, I think, in my life with what I'm going to do. Am I willing to humbly accept what God brought into my life? Am I willing to accept where God placed me and the circumstances he placed me in? Because when we forgive, we let go. We just let go. Back in Romans 12 again, verses 16 to 21, it says, "Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.'" Forgiveness is a way of life. Forgiveness starts in the heart, and forgiveness has its outworkings in all of life. So many times in our lives, We feel we should be vindicated. It's not my fault. I didn't do that. You can't tell me I did that. But when we live a life of forgiveness, we choose to lay it down. People will throw anything in our face. People will throw anything. But you know, sometime in life, we will get to the place. We need to get to the place where we can forgive and release it and go on. Because life is pretty short to go around or to figure out and vindicate ourselves at every option. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, I want to begin reading in verse 27. But I say unto you that hear, love your enemies. This is Jesus talking. Do good unto them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer the other also. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, which thank have ye? For the sinners also love those which love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners, hoping to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind, and he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. But be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measured, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with what the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? They not both fall in the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst I say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite! First cast out the beam that is in thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. This passage shows us the true meaning of non-resistance and release. We deal first with ourselves. We deal first with our own feelings and our own hurts, our own misgivings and our own injustices. And we forgive. Because it says here, as Jesus says, we pray for and bless those that despitefully use us. We allow them not to hurt us just once, but we continue to serve and allow them to hit us again. And it's okay. We just continue to move on. We love everyone. Jesus says we love everyone. Because sinners only love those who love them. Sinners also look for those who make them feel good. And that's who they love and serve. But we love everyone. We'll give them opportunity to mistreat us again. It says here that we also must be careful how we judge others, because we will be judged in like manner what we judge. So many times in life, I know in my own experience, when I want to hold something against somebody else, it's usually because there's something that I'm hiding myself. Maybe I'm seeking personal vindication. Maybe it's because, they just don't have a right to do that to me. Who said? Maybe that's where God wants me to be. We forgive others because we must remember what our Father forgave me. There's so much I have done wrong in this life. There's so many times I have been wronged. Or there's so many times I have done wrong to others that it behooves me that a perceived wrong that I have for myself, I let go from the inside out. Whenever we forgive, when we truly forgive others, we look to the other person with sympathy. And we get rid of the beam in our eye for personal vindication. In verse 41 and 42. Life is too short not to forgive. Because in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 to 15, it says, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That is where we find peace. We find rest in my soul. People will offend us. People will say things. People will lob anything. But we find rest when we forgive and we release. We can harbor the past. We can think about what has happened to us. A lot of things have happened to us. But in that recollection, we ought to be thinking about what we have done. Because we are people, the list is probably similar, or our list, if we actually are real with ourselves, will be much longer than what someone else did to me. May we work together and find peace in our lives and rest in our soul. We can walk together. Let us walk together in truth, love, mercy to each other. Let us humble ourselves to each other, submit my will to the will of God, and forgive those who hurt us. Together we will then press towards the prize of the high calling of God, where there will be eternal rest. And there won't be just rest inside me, but there will be no conflict outside, where rest will not just be a choice, but rest of my soul will be where I am. We will enter that perfect rest when we experience rest in my heart today with where God has me. Let's kneel for prayer.